This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, is the country in financial trouble? Muhyiddin says yes, Zafrul says nah.
First, we look into the claims made by NRC Chairman Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin that our country's economy is in worse shape than we thought. Then we look at the potential political motivations behind this statement. Finally, an UMNO youth division has filed a police report on this. So did our former PM break the law?
So we want to know, what did you think of this statement from Muhyiddin Yassin, and how would you grade our economic recovery scale of 1 to 10? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07, so let's start at the origins, or the originator of the statement. Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, former Prime Minister, Chairman of the National Recovery Council, claimed that Malaysia is facing far more serious financial problems than the UMNO-led federal government has let on. This is coming after he requested a report from the Finance Minister on February 17th, and he basically questioned whether the country's annual revenue will be sufficient to pay salaries, advance national development, support pension payments. He went on, actually. There were a number of things that he was bringing up.
Now, important to say that alongside this, he did bring up Johor a couple of times. And I think it might give you a little bit of a clue as to why now and why this at this point, right? So he pointed out that Johor's economy, which heavily relies on Singapore, had taken a toll in the last 2 years. He also warned Johorians against voting for BN in the coming election and condemned UMNO for calling for a state election in the first place. I think the timing, of course, is interesting. Also interesting is that if you think about it, if you think about the fact that the previous government isn't that far away from us right now. And in the start of this, of course, the fact that he is the National Recovery Council chairman would perhaps give you insight into how we got here in the first place. He said all of this at the launch of the Johor Perikatan National in Kota Tinggi today. Of course, Finance Minister Dato' Sri Tengku Zafrul Abdul Aziz has countered those claims.
Yeah, so he's assuring the public instead that Malaysia is on its way to economic recovery, that we're recovering rapidly based on indicators like the job market, and that essentially he was handed the report so that as the chairman of the NRC, he can aid the Prime Minister in making decisions on this, and that the contents of the report had already been made public through a variety of means, right? Media statements, comments in forums, parliamentary answers, reports from BNM, and so on and so forth. Now, adding on to the I was going to say chaos, but chaos is an overstatement. Adding on to the back and forth here is the fact that Parit Sulong UMNO Youth Division has lodged a police report against Muhyiddin over his claims, saying that Malaysia's financial status is safeguarded by the OSA, the Official Secrets Act 1972, and that since he is no longer the Prime Minister or in fact a cabinet member, he is not entitled to such information. So that's where it all stands. And I think you mentioned earlier the fact that he said this at the launch of Johor Perikatan National, hence the context for all the Johor-based comments. But also important to say that he wears two hats, right, in this context. He is the chairman of the National Recovery Council. He is also chairman of Perikatan National, one that is in an uneasy at best alliance with the federal government. And so I think that in that context, and knowing that he said it as Perikatan National Chairman, it's an interesting thing, is it not? Because ordinarily, I'm not sure that these sorts of statements are things that you would expect to come from. The call is coming from within the house. You know, I don't think this is necessarily what you would expect.
No, that's exactly it. And it feels, I mean, look, it feels like Perikatan National and Muhyiddin himself seem to pick and choose when they want to consider themselves aligned with UMNO and the current administration and when they choose not to. And this certainly seems like one of the latter times. Again, as I said, we are in fact talking about a recovery that was mooted and initiated during his time as PM. So to say that it's not working and we need to be doing things better while also sitting on that council, I don't think those two hats really even fit neatly alongside each other. It's they're blatantly contradictory things.
Initiated during his time, still being carried forth by many of the same people who were sitting at the table at the time. So we'd like to hear from you. We're talking today about conflicting statements being given. On the one hand, you have Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who is saying that Malaysia is in more serious financial trouble, worse shape than the UMNO-led federal government wants us to know. On the other hand, you have the finance minister, Tengku Zafrul, basically saying, nope, we are on our way to economic recovery. It's fine. So we'd like to hear from you. What did you think of this statement from NRC Chairman Muhyiddin Yassin? And how would you grade our economic recovery? Scale of 1 to 10. If you want to weigh in, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Kaw Yew Ling, political analyst from Sergi Anam Advisors. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:14. You are listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today we are talking about our country's economy and whether it's okay or not, which, depending on whether you're Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin or Finance Minister Datuk Sri Tengku Zafrul, seems to differ. So we have Muhyiddin Yassin kind of saying that based on what he's seen, the country is in worse economic shape than the government is letting on. On the other hand, you have the finance minister countering those claims and saying, nope, it's fine. We want to hear from you. What did you think of this statement? And how would you grade our economic recovery scale of 1 to 10? If you'd like to weigh in, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Kaw Yew Ling, political economist from Sergi Anam Advisors. Yew Ling, thank you so much for speaking with us again.
Hi, good evening, Sharmila and Lynn.
So we've seen these contradictory statements, right, coming from Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and Datuk Sri Tengku Zafrul Aziz. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, on the face of it, it was quite a wow statement. Was it his intention to paint the Sabri UMNO federal government as being incompetent or not truthful? You know, Muhyiddin said that he may leak real data on the state of the economy. But since then, Finance Minister Zafrul has said that no economic facts are hidden. Therefore, the allegation from Muhyiddin about, you know, is there another set of economic data is being denied? And of course, Zafrul says he gave the information to Muhyiddin as the chair of the National Recovery Council, etc. I mean, as an analyst who has to download Bank Negara reports and trade data and all that sort of thing, I mean, I would say that I really don't think there's a second set of economic data. I mean, you know, a lot of the data comes from Bank Negara, from Department of Statistics. Okay, I might wish there were more data available, but generally Malaysian data is well accepted and well regarded. Yeah, wish there was more.
How significant is the statement coming from our former PM?
Well, I guess that's the problem, right? But then that's also the other thing. I mean, he was very recently PM. You know, the cabinet is almost the same as his. So there's a great deal of continuity, very, very recent. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I just want to stress again, I really doubt the allegation. You know, it just seems odd thing to even think that our trade banking fiscal reserves data, is there something wrong with it? Is it plausible to even do this sort of thing? I mean, let's have a decent regard for the general professionalism of our civil service and agencies. I mean, we've got a lot of good people.
So if we look overall then at two things. Firstly, the statement that came out in the first place from Muhyiddin Yassin, and subsequently the back and forth between him and the finance minister. What kind of perception does all of this give of our country's finances?
Well, it does seem odd, but I think on the positive side, I really don't think that, you know, many experts would take this seriously. It does seem to be a political overstatement made at an overzealous campaign speech.
So if we look at the larger issue that all of this is about, what can you tell us about our country's current economic health?
Well, of course, and to be fair, you know, Malaysia's economy is doing reasonably in the context of COVID-19. And in comparison to others, I think Malaysia is really the lucky country yet again. I mean, with a huge commodity price boom in oil and gas and palm oil to backstop the economy is tremendous to happen.
And are there challenges that you see being a factor in our recovery?
Well, you know, this is the persistent problem, you know, of trust between the people and the government and politicians. This is ongoing. This has a negative impact on confidence for investors. You know, you need a clearer economic direction and coherent policies.
And how are we doing if we look at how our neighbours are, regionally speaking?
Well, you know, a lot of the regional economies are maturing. I mean, I think when China came out of its closed-in period, it basically sucked a lot of the air from ASEAN economies. It's a benefit for us, but it also sucked away a lot of things. And, you know, as Philippines reforms, Thailand has been very go-getting in investments, and Vietnam has been extremely so. You know, there's a lot of competition, and you need to stay ahead of that. And you need to stay ahead of how people keep their education policies and training relevant for the new economies.
Now, if we look at some of the more granular points that were raised during the speech, right? Tan Sri Muhyiddin talked about concerns over being able to afford salaries, development, pension. Based on our tabled budget for 2022, more than 60% of the annual revenue goes towards paying emoluments, pension, debt service charges. Could you tell us ultimately what this means? And is there cause for concern here?
Well, you know, these are fiscal issues that are already quite well known. I mean, there's no substantial change, really, you know, from Najib to Mahathir to Muhyiddin to Sabri administrations. The core issue is really is fiscal deficits since the Asian financial crisis of 1997-98. I mean, the last time Malaysia had a surplus was under Anwar Ibrahim as Minister of Finance. I mean, how long ago was that? You know, going forward, the government needs to increase revenue, invest carefully in development expenditure that has no corruption or wastage and that can boost the economy and productivity. Only by investing in proper development projects that can generate future income, Malaysia is going to dig itself out of a down spiral rut, which has been lingering.
If we take a forward-looking approach, what do you think of the current initiatives in place to grow our economy post-pandemic? Are we doing enough?
Well, we're a bit hamstrung, unfortunately. You know, the government doesn't have real capacity to spend its way out of the pandemic. I mean, some countries can print money, others have got reserves to spend, like some of our neighbours. So, you know, people were encouraged to strip money out of EPF, and I think that was a real mistake. And, you know, that happened under Muhyiddin's watch. Since there is no real money to pump prime, to, you know, just stick into the economy to push it, the government's duty is really to make sure all the projects are thought through without waste or corruption and let the economy heal itself.
So the statement, you know, it's been argued that it seems politically motivated. It was given as, you know, part of a political event. What is the larger impact of our economy when our leaders conflate economic issues with our politics?
Yes, I quite agree. I mean, it is political. And I think that's why it's coming down to this. That's why a lot of people are looking forward to general election. Since the Sheraton move, the mandate of the people have not been fulfilled. The question of legitimacy to rule is unresolved. And I think he highlights that himself.
In closing then, are you optimistic about Malaysia's economy and where we're heading?
Well, there is optimism in the fundamentals of Malaysia. You know, we have this large youngish population growing, commodity sectors. But, you know, it's missing some things. You know, it needs better governance, more transparency and accountability, which people seem to have been holding their breath forever. We need to stop the brain drain. We need to pay workers better. If Malaysia can fix these, you know, if the politicians can make time for this, the economy, which is quite diversified, can find its footing. You know, I think it just keeps getting derailed by, you know, I don't know, various reasons, projects, whatever. So Malaysia just needs a real clean government that can make the right to economic and not make project decisions based on corruption and cronyism.
Yu Ling, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks.
That was Khor Yu Ling, political economist from Sigi and Am Advisors, weighing in on this back and forth that has taken place between former Prime Minister and current Chairman of the National Recovery Council, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who says Malaysia is in more serious financial trouble than the government is letting on. Meanwhile, the government, in the form of Finance Minister Datuk Sri Tengku Zafrul Abdul Aziz, is saying, we're fine, you guys. You know, job market and so on, everything is okay. So we'd like to hear from you. What did you think of the statement and this back and forth? How would you grade our economic recovery on a scale of 1 to 10? That number to call, 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we have some messages.
Nini says, wow, wasn't he the one who appointed the current finance minister during his short time in office as the PM?
Short time in office and short time ago, which I think that we cannot emphasize enough, right? Because it's not as if we're talking about something where we really have the benefit of hindsight at this point. We're kind of still in the thick of it. And the plan that is being enacted is the plan that we knew about then. Nothing much has really changed except the person in charge. And so, yeah, I think, you know, that's a valid point. Meanwhile, we also have Anne who says, honestly, I find our politicians today selfish, only interested in furthering their so-called political mileage or agenda. Have we not spooked enough investors away?
So the last part of that is really something that I've wondered about, right? Like, it's all well and good to make these sorts of grand statements without needing to actually provide much proof. But what does it say when a former PM says this? And what does it say to our investors, especially at a time when we perhaps need to be sending out the right messages?
Yeah, and I think the question here is to what end, right? And so the context of where it was said and what hat he was wearing when he said it, I think is important, because otherwise we, I think, are all invested in wanting to have more investments in our country. There's a recognition that that is an important part of our recovery. There's a recognition that, you know, our plummeting down the scales when it comes to transparency indices and things like that, none of that is good. And so these sorts of statements kind of make it worse. And you're right. I think whether this is the right time and to what end are the questions that need to be asked. Dennis says, none of the statements are to be believed. It's surely not good, but really not that bad. I mean, there's still so much money leaking around. It is the leakages that are hurting most and benefiting just a few. Change the attitude, change the green mindset, and see the rainbow.
You know, that's in line with what you just said, right? Notions of transparency, notions of being upfront about things. I mean, I don't think anyone's particularly interested in finger pointing. People just really want to see results.
Yes, but then the other question is also whether or not people are interested in this in the context of the vote. Because, of course, you know, this is being said around the Johor State election. I'm sure that this is a narrative that is also going to be trotted out or inform our federal elections, GE15, which is sometime. And that is actually something that we're going to be talking about after this, right? After the 6:30 news, we'll be examining this from a political point of view, whether this has political mileage. But in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. What did you think of the statement from Muhyiddin Yassin, this back and forth between him and our finance minister about the state of our economy? And how would you grade our economic recovery overall? Scale of 1 to 10. That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 6:30 news, we'll be joined by Tricia Yeo, CEO of Ideas, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're talking today about, well, contrasting claims, one made by NRC Chairman, former Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, that our country's economy is in worse shape than we had thought. And then the response from the Finance Minister that Malaysia is well on its way to economic recovery and we're basically fine. All of this is happening, of course, during a speech, or rather the statement initially came out during a speech at the launch of Perikatan Nasional Johor, so, and around the corner from the state election. So just worth noting. We'd like to hear from you. What did you think of this statement and how would you grade our economic recovery? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're joined now by Tricia Yeo, CEO at Ideas, the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Tricia, thank you so much for speaking with us. So what did you make of this announcement, right? Especially in terms of its timing and proximity to the Johor elections.
So thanks. Yes, I think the news reported Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as talking about the very fragile state of the country's finances, which was a little bit I suppose, suspicious, seeing as it was announced during the launch of the Johor Perikatan National campaign. As we all know, the Johor state elections is coming up, and I suppose the timing of it was a little bit suspect, evidently done with certain political intentions and motivations which are political. I think what would have been better would have been if he were to have said this in the context of the National Recovery, since he is the chair of the National Recovery Council. And if this had been done immediately after he was appointed as the chair, really talking about the fragile state of the country's finances in the context of how are we going to move forward? How are we going to ensure that the government itself has sufficient revenue to finance what will be a rather painful couple of years ahead, especially, you know, post-pandemic and post-economic lockdown. So I think context really matters. So I think there are questions being asked as to why this was not, you know, raised earlier, if this was already apparent to him as a former prime minister, as well as the chair of the National Recovery Council.
So do you see this having any effect on voter sentiment in Johor?
Of course, voter sentiment, you know, is influenced by multiple factors. And while, you know, the economy ultimately is a great influential factor in how voters are going to lean towards, you know, a certain party and so on, I think it's still more on a day-to-day basis for the common voter on the ground. You know, when you talk about national government revenue and whether or not they have sufficient finances to pump out, you know, infrastructure development and expenditure, I think it's still difficult to connect the high-level public finances debate to the voters on the ground. You know, if he's trying to make this very simplistic argument that, okay, government doesn't have any more money, therefore, you're not going to be able to reap the benefits. Of course, that kind of line of argument, it's something that can scare people easily, but that doesn't necessarily translate into, you know, influencing the voters to vote, say, for Bersatu and PN versus to vote for UMNO. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a non-sequitur there. Yes, there might be concerns that voters will become a little bit more aware of as a result of this revelation. But to say that this will actually influence them one way or another, I think that's something that we still need to, you know, conduct some research on.
Right. And on a national level, how much does our economy and its recovery affect political leanings? I mean, is it something that voters are looking out for?
Oh, yes. I mean, definitely. I think the economy and recovery will directly affect how people... Well, I think there's a sort of staged levels of connection here, right? So how we believe the country is being managed economically and therefore the recovery, how we feel directly affected by the economy is also how we would feel about the confidence that we have in the government that is leading the day. But like I said earlier, it has a lot more to do with day-to-day things that affect voters. So the most relevant for now would be the rise in prices, right? So inflation, which is connected to the fact that wages are still low. This is also connected to the national minimum wage. This year, we're supposed to be increasing the national minimum wage to 1,500 ringgit. So they are connected. But as far as, you know, how it affects political leanings, I think it's a lot about communication and how the political party in question would successfully make a policy decision and roll out certain policy plans and convince the voters that these policy plans are the ones that will successfully lead and guide the country out of the economic rut that, you know, we are in. So I think, yes, the answer is economy and recovery does affect political leanings, but it really is highly dependent as well on how the politicians are able to skew the narrative in their favour.
Now, as you've brought up, Muhyiddin was speaking as the chairman of Perikatan National, but he has also been retained as chairman of the National Recovery Council, which is, of course, a prominent position. With that in mind, what does this back and forth say about his relationship with UMNO, or for that matter, Perikatan National's relationship with UMNO?
I think it's quite evident that PN, which is really Bersatu in this case, has had a fractious relationship with UMNO in the past, despite the fact that they are in government, in the federal government, in the same coalition at present. That is not to say that they will be in the same coalition moving forward. I think there are already multiple instances over the last 2 years where we have seen UMNO, for example, making very public announcements that it will no longer be part of the PN coalition, or it will not be contesting together with PN in the same coalition in the next election. So evidently they're together right now for politically expedient reasons. But that said, I think we have to take everything with a pinch of salt, because this is election season this year. So these sorts of statements must be seen in that context. None of us who are not the direct political players within the scene will know exactly what the relationships are and what the negotiations are that are happening behind the scene. So I think, what does this say about the relationship with UMNO? It's because of the state election that's coming up in Johor. It will be a competitive one because it's election season. And of course, the state election itself will also be a gauge for all the parties, especially Bersatu and UMNO, to determine what their election strategy will be moving forward in the general election.
And where does this leave the current administration in terms of handling Muhyiddin and his influence?
Well, I think, it does come down to the number of seats that each party has in parliament, right? Bersatu has 32, UMNO has 36 thereabouts. And yes, you can talk about some of the other smaller PN, BN parties, but okay, like right now, I think it's really about these two parties. Bersatu and PN, of course, they still have influence. And Muhyiddin himself was the one who appointed Tengku Zafrul as the Minister of Finance. So looking at how the current administration is handling it, I think we would say that the Prime Minister Ismail Sabri himself is put in a little bit of a tough spot. He has his own party to contend with. He's, I think, under pressure from within his own party. And we all know that UMNO itself has its factions. And Ismail Sabri also, was the one who appointed Muhyiddin as the chair of the National Recovery Council. So he is also receiving, I suppose, advice from those quarters. Where does that leave their administration? I would say in a rather precarious situation, one in which many political influencers would stand to want to have their influence demonstrated. And this is the time during election season that this influence that they try to project will be amplified even more.
So Muhyiddin has also made reference to revealing more on the papers and numbers soon. What are you expecting to see on this front?
I think this is a really interesting revelation that he's made. I think the timing of it matters. And I would prefer also that he makes use of perhaps a more systematic and engaging front to have a national conversation and dialogue about the state of the country's finances. It's a really, really important topic. Don't couch it in the context of an election. Like, couch it in the context of future sustainability of the country's funds. How sustainable is it for us to depend on the national oil revenues from Petronas, for example? And then finally, as Tengku Zafrul has pointed out, use it as a context to talk about upcoming legislation. So the Fiscal Responsibility Act is going to be tabled in Parliament, and we need to have this national conversation about things that are really going to impact the public. The reason the Fiscal Responsibility Act is being discussed in the first place is so that we can ensure that the country has better macroeconomic stability, much more prudent debt levels, a sustainable, budget balance, fiscal risk management. And let's not forget that if we're talking about national revenues, we also need to start talking about the potential reintroduction of the goods and services tax. So in the context of sustainability of countries' finances and recovery of the country, that would really be well received, especially from the think tank community and the research community like ours. Bring in all the different agencies involved, including the Treasury, including Bank Negara, and have this serious dialogue about the state of our country's finances. I mean, don't couch it in terms of, oh, you know, it's a very cloak and dagger sort of revelation. Like, no, don't use it as a revelation in election context or politically motivated reasons. Let's sit down, talk about it. What can we do? What are the policy measures that need to be taken from here on? And let's tackle them, right? Rationally.
Tricia, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Tricia Yeo, CEO of Ideas, talking about the political timing and significance, really, of the statement from Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who is chairman of both the National Recovery Council and Perikatan Nasional. After this, we're going to be looking at a police report that has been lodged about this, involving the Official Secrets Act and whatnot. We're just going to look at whether it has any basis. So for that, we'll be joined by criminal lawyer Goh Chia Yee. In the meantime, if you would like to weigh in, you can let us know, what did you make of the statement? How would you grade our economic recovery? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We've been talking today about claims made by the NRC chairman, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, that our country's economy is in worse shape than we thought. We've covered the response from the finance minister. However, there's also been an UMNO youth division that has lodged a police report against him over these claims, saying that our status is safeguarded by the Official Secrets Act. So we wanted to just look into that and I guess ascertain the validity of it all. For that, we're joined by criminal lawyer Goh Chia Yee. Chia Yee, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Sharmila.
So, like I just said, the police report is based on the understanding that our financial status as a country is safeguarded by the Official Secrets Act 1972. What exactly does the OSA say on this point? I mean, what does it cover?
So the Official Secrets Act doesn't exactly use the term financial status. It's not mentioned in the Act at all. So financial status isn't covered by the Official Secrets Act, but what may be covered by the Official Secrets Act is information relating to the financial status of the country. But whether this falls under what we define to be an official secret really depends on the definition of an official secret under the Act itself. So under the Act, the scope of what an official secret is as defined in the schedule of the Act. So there is a schedule that lists out the particular matters that will be considered to be official secrets. And the section also says that any other information relating to that those matters are also official secrets. And any minister, Menteri Besar or Chief Minister, may declare certain information to be an official secret. And they may appoint public officers to classify certain documents or information as official secrets as well. So really, in brief, there's a huge delegation of powers here to either the minister, the Menteri Besar, or to public officers to determine what can be an official secret. So unless it's in the schedule or there is a particular document stating otherwise, then we can't really say for certain whether the financial status as a whole is an official secret. It's definitely not, in my opinion.
In which case, then, does this police report have merit? I mean, simply put, might Muhyiddin have broken the law with his recent statements?
Well, if you looked at the police report, the statement that was given by these people, they said that, because the Bersatu president is not a cabinet member, nor a prime minister anymore, he's not entitled to the possession of any information on the country that is classified as confidential. See, that statement itself is incorrect. So the very whole premise of their police report is also incorrect. Because just because you're not a cabinet member or a prime minister, it doesn't mean that you can't be entitled to be in possession of information that is confidential. It really depends on the competent authority, whether they allow you to have that information and whether you follow the necessary regulations or whatever that is set by the minister. So if you follow all that, then there is no reason to say why you can't really be in possession of a classified confidential information.
So considering the fact that the finance minister has said that the facts anyway in the report are public, they've been mentioned before, considering what you just said, how then is this report going to be investigated or assessed?
So the opinion of the finance minister is one thing, and that's his personal opinion. When we look in law, whether it is classified or not really would depend on many technical issues. So it's probably difficult for us to really get into what these technical issues are exactly. But in brief summary, basically the first step we've got to take is to consider whether it's official secret. Then the second step is whether you are entitled to disclose that official secret to somebody. If you're not entitled, then that would be an offense itself. Thirdly, if once the person has the official secret, did they communicate it to anyone else that they're not entitled to communicate that secret to? So in all these steps that I just mentioned, there could potentially be an offense occurring. So in fact, you may even argue that the finance minister himself may have committed an offense, but I find that to be very unlikely because the minister is the person that determines what is defined to be official secret. There's a lot of power there when it comes to what a minister can say. So in his Facebook post, it's made it quite clear that he believes, at least, that this information is public. The Act does cover discussions during cabinet meetings or cabinet documents, but I believe that it's probably very hard to say that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Nassin did not really have any right to have the document or to have it in his possession. Because actually what he said to the media, I believe also, was that he never really disclosed any information. It was his subjective opinion of the financial status of the country. So I don't think you can call somebody subjective information based on information that we don't really get to see as official secret. I think that would be a very wide ambit that would be quite controversial.
In cases like this then, what is the line between the rakyat's right to know and contravening the OSA?
Well, as history has shown, when there is something that's really controversial, there's always somebody that finds a way to get this information out. And what will happen is that somebody would share this information either with a third party or have some kind of whistleblowing going on. So in the event that that happens, right, the question is that once it has been leaked out to the public, is there really a use in classifying it as official secrets anymore? Because sometimes by releasing the information or letting public have the chance to look at the information itself may help to clarify the situation. Often what happens is that we only get to hear one side, which is from the person that leaks the information, but we don't really get to see everything as a whole. So a good example of this is that the audit report that was classified as official secret act by Tan Sri Amrin Buang back then. I think that if we in fact allow the public to take a look at the report, I think they will be able to come up with their own conclusions rather than, you know, be afraid of what the public would think. But on the other hand, I would say, you know, the rakyat does have a right to know on these issues that concern them when it involves taxpayer money and everything. There are other secrets which maybe the rakyat doesn't need to know, such as military secrets, which may present a national security if it's leaked out to the public. So once again, these issues come back to balancing the public interest as well as national security. But I think more often than not, when the public is dissatisfied with something and they express this quite clearly, they often tend to have their hand on the pulse and they tend to know whether something should or should not be disclosed. And in this instance, I don't think it's something really serious at all, to be honest. It's just the financial status of the country. So maybe the motive of the police report may have to be really looked at.
Chia Yi, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was criminal lawyer Goh Chia Yi talking about a police report that was lodged against Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin over his claims about Malaysia's economic status. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.